it won't happen twice, my friend. And I know it because I know it, child. It cannot happen again.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Joel Schechter and Daryl Henriquez. Professor Joel Schechter teaches dramatic literature, criticism, and theater history. He previously taught at the New School for Social Research at the State University of New York at Stony Brook and at the Yale School of Drama. He now teaches at the San Francisco State University. And Daryl Henriquez is an author, actor, and comedian. He's well known throughout the Bay Area for having been a member of the San Francisco Mime Troupe. And the play of written in the 1930s by Cinque Lewis, It Can't Happen Here, is getting something of a revival around the country. Who, tell me, Daryl, who's responsible for organizing this? It seems to be tapping in to the zeitgeist.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to confess that it came to me as an idea after seeing the Tim Robbins movie, The Cradle Will Rock, and then learning for the first time in my life, even though I had studied theater, that there was this thing called the Federal Theater Project. And I read about it, and a book came out recently called Furious Improvisation, which is a sensational history of the Federal Theater. So I was at the Actors Gang one night, and I spoke to the managing director, and I said, you know the story about It Can't Happen Here, and how it was put on in several theaters on the same night to celebrate the first anniversary of the Federal Theater. And we should really do that. We should recognize that and maybe get a lot of theaters around the country to do a reading of the play. And they told me to email them, and I emailed them, and they weren't able to do it. But I kept on talking to people, and one thing led to another, and we ended up with 22 readings in 17 different cities in 13 different states.
And I believe here in Los Angeles tonight, Wednesday night, at 8 o'clock, it's playing in North Hollywood at, what is it called, Deathworth, the Antaeus Theater?
Yes, Antaeus is putting on a reading tonight at Deaf West.
So, Professor Joel Schechter, the play by Cinque Lewis, well, actually, the book, the novel, was published in 1935, It Can't Happen Here. Yes. And it features this folksy, self-conscious, plain-spoken Southern politician, Buzz Windrip, appealing to America's the common man, but he's really a kind of a shill for the plutocrats, and it's a parable, if you will, about the possibility of American fascism, prophetic warning, if you will. I must say, without being too polemical here, it does. Buzz Windrip reminds me quite a bit of Governor Perry.
I think we've had a number of political figures who have some of his tendencies toward either fascism or support of plutocracy. And it's probably no accident that 75 years later, after this play first was opened across the United States in 21 theaters on the same night, that in another era of great recession or depression, we face similar, though not quite the same, political turbulence, and it's time for the theater once again to remind people of the situation we're in. So this play seems to merit reconsideration, and for that matter, I think the whole Federal Theater Project, which was created 76 years ago, ought to be reconsidered. The WPA, which put millions and millions of Americans back to work, offered 10 to 12,000 actors and theater artists paying jobs at a time when so many were unemployed. And at this time when there is so great a need for more jobs, what the WPA was doing not only for artists, for many working Americans, but also for the people who labored in theater, is a wonderful idea whose time ought to come again.
Well, but in terms of the work by Sinclair Lewis, this you know, political dystopian a parable, if you will, it can't happen here. Perhaps we've had Buzz Windrips or bits and pieces of them in a lot of politicians. Arguably, George W. Bush, a Southern politician, tried to be folksy. Really, actually, came from the plutocratic class.
Yeah.
But Perry seems to be sort of echoing a lot of really kind of crass plutocratic policies. At the same time, wrapping them in religion and you know, a freedom, of course, being the new freedom that Windrip vaunted in the book. I mean, I'm not trying to as I say, I wasn't trying to be polemical, even though I probably am. But I just see a lot of echoes there, in particularly in Perry in the current race.
Yeah, I think you could see those, and also at the same time recognize the historical reference in the play to fascism rising in Europe. In a way, this play was a response to Hitler and Mussolini and to the Americans who wanted someone like Hitler or Mussolini to run the country in the 1930s. And so it may speak to the present in terms of you know, some of our current presidential candidates, but I think it also spoke in the 1930s to the rise of fascism and fears by Lewis and others that it could happen here. And it's not just a matter of the political leaders, as the newspaper editor, Doremus Jessup, says in the middle of the play. You know, it's not just big business or the political leaders who let this happen. It's us, the ordinary people, who didn't protest enough when it was beginning to happen. So it's also a play about ordinary American citizens who don't anticipate the difficulties that these leaders' surprise policies from the leaders may bring. And I think that, too, is very important. Since there are so many protests going on now across the country, in a way, maybe we're in a different state where people have anticipated some of the problems that could lead to fascism, and they are stepping forward and speaking out, and the theater can do that as well.
And Daryl Henriquez, you're organizing these plays around the country, these performances of Sinclair Lewis's 1935 novel, then adapted into a play. It Can't Happen Here. Joel was just saying that it was obviously a response to what was happening then, which was the rise of Nazism in 1935. I don't think there's much question in the historical record that America's elite, a lot of them supported Hitler. So it could have happened here if the elite would have had its way. I'm talking about the DuPonts, the Henry Fords, George Bush's grandfather, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, Ian, I wanted to tell you that one of the things that the Federal Theater is famous for is something called the living newspaper, in which they would take the actuality of what was happening. And they had journalists and theater people putting together these shows. And the first one they did was called Ethiopia, and it was about the Italian invasion of Ethiopia. And the State Department wouldn't let it be put on because they didn't want to insult any other world leaders. And so during the course of the Federal Theater, they were not allowed to talk about anything that was happening that involved world leaders around the world. And it's like, these people can be our friends one day, and they can be our enemies the next day, but be sure you don't insult them. And the other thing I wanted to tell you is that I went to one of the readings on Monday night, and during the intermission, I turned to someone, and I said, "My God, who knew that Sinclair Lewis had written this play 10 minutes ago?" And it was like everything that was being talked about in the play was happening in our society today. And the other thing I want to mention is the fact that when we have political leaders that without compunction break the law with impunity, we are going down a road that leads directly to the kind of situation that Sinclair Lewis warned us about.
And in terms of the component of a fascist takeover, if as in the 1930s, a big chunk of the American elite supported the Nazis, but we also had the countervailing power of unions and the Depression and all these people out of work, and that FDR was actually the president, a huge kind of bulwark against it. Nevertheless, in the popular culture, there was Father Coughlin in the media. I mean, if he doesn't, if
he's
Glenn Beck and
if in the play actually, he is, there's a character like him in the play.
Right. Well, I'm saying, isn't that the contemporary versions of that? Aren't they Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity? I mean, these are the people that are railing against the 99% people that are now demonstrating.
You're right. I think one counterforce to that in the theater was the Democratic potential of the Federal Theater Project. When this play opened in 21 theaters across the United States, it was a very democratic and decentralized kind of protest through the arts. And I think the Federal Theater Project was also very culturally diverse. There was a Yiddish production of this play. There was one done in Spanish in Tampa. It employed many people who needed work across the country. And in a sense, it represented an alternative to fascism in democratic government and funding for the arts from the government, which we haven't seen the like of since. So I think one reason to celebrate this play now on its 75th anniversary is the potential for democratic expression across the country and cultural diversity that it represented and that it kept alive through theater.
And Joel Schechter, do you think that obviously it's politically dead on arrival, the notion of a WPA being revived, although some serious people like Robert Reich and others have suggested that that's what we need. Instead of the sort of shovel-ready stimulus package that clearly wasn't enough, that we could, with a little more imagination, we could employ a lot of people. We know that that the dysfunction in Washington is such that nothing is going to be done to improve the economy. But nevertheless, we have this phenomenon of a spontaneous demonstration throughout the country in parks all around the country. The Occupy Wall Street movement has spread across the country and around the world. What's your sense of new political possibilities?
Well, in a sense, we have new political theater in Occupy Wall Street. I mean, people have taken to the streets. It's a kind of street theater. But I would love to see a call for a new WPA, perhaps not exactly what existed 75 years ago. But I think if people begin to understand what was possible with government spending, instead of spending a lot of money on war and battleships, spending it on the arts and employment, there was a model there. One statement Hallie Flanagan, head of the Federal Theater, made was, the cost of 2 years of this program in the arts for employing over 10,000 people was $22 million. I think it was half the price, or the price of half a battleship. And I think if we can begin to use money from government budgets for arts and culture and education and healthcare rather than battleships, we're on the way toward a new kind of government spending and perhaps a new kind of WPA, but people have to be aware of the old one to know that it's possible.
And Darrell Henriquez, the idea that there's a confluence going on here of reviving Sinclair Lewis's "It Can't Happen Here" from the 30s and spontaneous theater that's erupting in town squares all across the country and around the world. So it feels there's an interesting synergy going on here. Did the cart come before the horse, or the horse before the cart, in terms of your idea of putting this play on around the country and now having this political movement out there in the zeitgeist?
Well, I started asking people to get behind it before Occupy Wall Street started. So when that happened, it just was astounding to me, and then the the other thing about it was it turned out that the actual date of the original production was October 27th. And we chose October 24th because it was a Monday night and most theaters are dark on Mondays. And then it turned out that October 24th is the 82nd anniversary of Black Thursday and the crash of Wall Street, which obviously is still reverberating around the world. And so it was like, I can't believe this. This is all happening. It's all coming together.
It's all coming back.
And the one thing that I wanted to say about the WPA is that we don't remember our history in this country. And so people around the country can go into buildings that were built by the WPA. They can cross bridges that were built by the WPA. It's like all of the fruits of the WPA are still around us, and a lot of us aren't even aware of it. And that was the thing that really astounded me, was that I had studied theater in the UC system, and then I see this movie, and I realize they didn't tell me about this. This was like a mystery. And so to learn about it finally was really a blessing to me, and to become aware of this project that lasted 4 years that did so many great things. And as Arthur Miller said, several of the people from the Federal Theater who went on to lucrative careers in Hollywood, he said that the entire program could have been paid by them in income taxes over the next 15 years. He said, I'm not exaggerating, their income tax probably paid for the whole damn thing.
Well, in terms of the work of Sinclair Lewis, of course, he got the Nobel Prize, and there aren't too many, I think, American literary figures that were that political, and particularly on the left. You know, that the political left has been largely beaten down in this country, particularly starting during the Cold War. And I think it's very hard for people to recognize that it was how powerful it was in the 30s. But my understanding of Sinclair Lewis's work was that he was essentially a kind of chronicling the middle class's angst of facing the Depression. And Joel Schechter, isn't that what's happening now? Aren't there middle class wondering whether they're going to be downsized or become extinct? I mean, the GAO just issued this report that proves unequivocally that the top 1% are literally raking it in and have been raking it in at the expense of the middle class, not to mention, you know, the vast majority of working Americans.
Yeah, I think that's very likely that not only the middle class, but the forgotten unemployed, and you know, in the 30s they had the phrase "the forgotten man." They referred to the League of the Forgotten Men in the play by Lewis, and I think there are many people who've been forgotten or left by the wayside in our economy, and I think the arts, particularly theater, can raise consciousness and make people more aware of this. You mentioned Lewis as a novelist. One very interesting thing about the history of this play is that it began when MGM bought the film rights to the novel and then probably read the novel and realized they didn't want to make the film. Rumors have it they were afraid of offending Mussolini and Hitler by making this into a film. So Hallie Flanagan and the Federal Theater came along and said, well, we can do it as a play. We can do it all over the country. And Lewis was very attracted to this idea, the fact that this decentralized theater system would get his play out to Americans across the country. And by the end of its run, it had the equivalent of a 5-year run on Broadway, but it wasn't on Broadway or only in New York. It was all over the country. So it was a very effective means of reaching a large public with live theater performance about a very timely subject.
Well, that sounds like what Daryl's trying to do now, right?
Yes. I think it is time to think again of reaching the public with this kind of play and creating new plays that will continue this dialogue and discourse about what the country needs to do in crisis.
Well, just a last word from you, Daryl, since you've organized this.
I would like to just quote Hallie Flanagan, She said, "We want to do It Can't Happen Here," because like Dormus Jessup, the novel's newspaper man and hero, and his creator Sinclair Lewis, we, as American citizens and as workers in a theater sponsored by the government of the United States, should like to do what we can to keep alive the free, inquiring, critical spirit, which is the center and core of a democracy.
Well, I thank you both for joining us here today, Joel Schechter and Darrell Enriquez.
Thank you.
Again, Joel Schechter is a professor who teaches dramatic literature, criticism, and theater history. He previously taught at the New School for Social Research at the State University of New York at Stony Brook and at the Yale School of Drama. He now teaches at San Francisco State University. And Darrell Enriquez is an author, actor, and comedian. He's well known throughout the Bay Area for having been a member of the San Francisco Mime Troupe. He has organized the productions around the country, or play readings, of Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here, throughout all around the United States and here in Los Angeles. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Every day for the mass, put my fist right up, right against the fascist. Decent to-